From ABC6 in Providence, he's our friend Nick Coyd. Hello there, Nick.
You know, Rich, when you first posted that picture, I'm like, did Rich like post like a child picture of himself here? Like, what is this? Like, holy cow, black and white, and like, wow. But then I looked at the guest list. I said, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Mine were daguerreotypes. They're so old.
I mean, hey, I was just poking you. You took it the next step.
I did. How have you been, Nick?
Good, Rich. I hope to be on ever vacation at some point soon as well, like Carrie, because I think it's going to be a beautiful summer around here. Things are starting to open up again. Things are starting to look up, which is a nice thing. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Yeah, getting ready to wrap up the school year. Now, this will, I'm already old, but this may age you just a little bit. You were such a good friend and filled in for me when my little guy, Graham, was born. And he's about to finish first grade.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time flies, man.
He inherited somebody's attitude, too. So.
Oh, good. So he survived the first grade, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, yeah. And his teacher survived as well.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about the Red Sox. And when last we chatted with you, we were both fairly optimistic about this team, but I'm not sure I would have expected them to do as well as it's gone so far.
I would agree with you, and I think what we had sort of looked at, Rich, as sort of key points of success, I think have come true. I think a lot of people were, for some reason, underrating this lineup, and I think when you looked at the middle of the order, you said, okay, if you can get back to even an average J.D. Martinez, back to a Xander Bogaerts that is, you know, up to his own standards, a Rafael Devers who could be motivated by the return of Alex Cora, then you thought, okay, well, this lineup could be pretty good. Would they be, what, second in runs in all of Major League Baseball, at least coming into last night? I haven't looked at the runs. Maybe they jump back into first. But, I mean, did you expect that good? I don't know. Maybe not. But you thought that they could put up some runs, and the key was going to be the pitching. And I think so far, for the most part, the starting pitching, you know, here and there, they've had their, you know, skips, they've had their, you know, stumbles along the way, but for the most part, it's been pretty good in giving you a chance to win and giving your offense a chance to, you know, certainly do some damage. And I think the biggest surprise to me, and it's so funny how the mentality will change with somebody when they're given a job or a role and they're told to maximize themselves in that role. I think Matt Barnes, being the closer of this baseball team, the change in mentality from the guy, he looks like a completely different pitcher. He's oozing confidence. And that's a big thing, because now you've got yourself an anchor at the back of the bullpen. You'll find the rest. You'll find a couple guys to help him in terms of the setup relief.
And that starting rotation has been a pleasant surprise. And, well, last night, Nick Pivetta, 6-0. If you had that in your preseason pool, congratulations.
Seriously, yeah, go down to Foxwoods in Connecticut or something like that. Go play, or for you guys, go down to Hollywood Casino, because holy cow, you got some great odds going for you right now. And look, I mean, it's a guy that, again, he goes out there, he gives you a chance to win when he pitches. He's not going to, you know, with the exception of maybe one or two starts here and there, not going to blow away the other team, but he's going to give you, you know, maybe gives up 3-4 runs, and if your offense can back him up and, you know, then he has a chance to go out there and be 6-0, and that's exactly what they've done so far.
Well, and Don, we were talking about this the other day, the importance of Alex Cora to this team.
Yeah, when you consider, and I noticed Nick mentioning it as well, the impressive early going here for Rafi Devers, and you have to look directly to the mentoring that Cora provides him. It's a unique relationship those two share, Nick.
It's really interesting to watch all of the coaches when they come into, you know, a setting like, you know, like Alex Cora has, or it has a team that he has sort of a previous relationship with, and he knows how to push the right buttons. And we're seeing that right now with the hockey team in Boston. Bruce Cassidy is a coach that knows how to push the right buttons on guys and gets them going and gets them pushed. He sat Jake DeBrusk how many times this year? And every time he responded. And I think, you know, he scores the first goal of that last hockey series with the Capitals. And, you know, they're on to the second round. I mean, he has a command of the room. And I see the same thing with Alex Cora. It's striking, especially with, you know, a younger guy like Devers. He just knows how to push him. He knows how to push, you know, Eddie Rodriguez, who I know is having his struggles right now. But Cora just 100% believes in the guy and believes in his talents. And that goes a long way. And he's just very hands-off with these guys. They like playing for him. But he will be stern and strict when he needs to be. And that goes a long way. I agree with you guys. Like, I think he's the MVP of this team. It's a different team with him in that clubhouse because these guys just seem to be playing looser, especially the guys in the lineup. And it's so far, obviously, it's worked out.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown, and along with Cora, kudos to Chaim Bloom. Last year, people obviously weren't sold, but that was such a strange season. But he's gone out and managed to bring in not just reclamation projects, but veterans with versatility, whether it's a Marwin Gonzalez or a Kike Hernandez, guys who have who've shown their ability to succeed at the major league level, and they're getting things done, all of these guys.
Well, and they're letting him go through with his plan. And so far, you know, when you're talking about year two-ish here with him, I think you're right, especially with the rotation. I mean, the pitching staff and, you know, a guy like a Garrett Whitlock, who you stole from your rival. Like, yeah, you know, again, he's had some bumps in the road lately too, but when you first saw the kid come through, you're like, wait, why did the Yankees give up on this guy? Like, and it was a risk. It was a risk to put him on the team in terms of the Rule 5 and all that. And it's worked out for them. He's a pretty live arm that, you know, obviously they can use. And, you know, it's never perfect. Franchi Cordero gets sent down to AAA today. Yeah, it's never perfect. But you know the reasoning behind the Benintendi trade and whatnot. And it was more for the, you know, what was coming up with Benintendi and contract. So, you know, he has the foresight to make that sort of move. And I think, you know, the player to be named later, or players to be named later in that deal, are what Chaim is looking at and saying, okay, this is what I can do to add to my system and to beef up what's coming up in terms of talent. And the long-term goal is to be sustainable and to compete every year and have an influx of talent consistently. And, you know, so far, I think he's setting the team up to be that way going forward.
Nick, as we do move forward, what do you see as the biggest concerns for this ball club? I mean, you certainly got some overachievement, especially out of some of the young guys going this far. But how do you keep that going for the long haul?
Well, I always come down to pitching. It's the first place I point. And you've gotten good starting pitching so far, but, you know, is Nick Pivetta going to continue to be unbeaten throughout the season? Probably not. At some point, he's going to hit a, you know, rough patch, and it's how these guys respond. A guy like an Eddie Rodriguez right now is going through that sort of rough patch. They're going to need him to pitch well when they're going down the stretch in September and they're in a race for the postseason. They need him to go out there and pitch well. So, to me, it's just the ability of these guys to respond, bounce back, and figure things out on the fly, because teams adjust to them. Now they're going to have to adjust to their competition. I look at that, and I look at the setup relief too. And, you know, again, as much as we like Matt Barnes so far, you know, they do need a couple of guys to step forward, be consistent relief guys. I mean, Ottavino has been up and down, and, you know, some of the other guys have been the same. And so they need a couple of guys to step forward. So you've got yourself your plan when it comes to the postseason, so you're not using a guy like a David Price in a setup role like you were in 2018 out of the bullpen of the postseason, because that was very unique, and you don't want to count on that, especially with, you know, all the arms that you do have at your disposal.
Nick, how strange has it been? I mean, you didn't have it last year either, but with minor league baseball back, how odd is it to not have the Paw Sox around?
It's interesting. It's tough around here. I think, you know, the wounds have sort of, you've gotten through the worst of it around here, because I think we've had 3 years in Rhode Island to figure out, okay, well, there's not going to be a AAA baseball team. They leave, they have their opening day, and I think people are starting to realize it's just not going to be, it's not going to be here anymore. And it's a shame because I think it was a very unique fan base to have a AAA team, you know, and followed by an entire state here. And just the community aspect of having this baseball team in Rhode Island, I think, is one of the biggest missing links. And, you know, people are going to miss having the fireworks at McCoy Stadium on Saturday nights, being able to take their kids and not only enjoy baseball, but enjoy a night out during the summer. So it's tough, but, you know, it was what it was. It's a shame that sometimes politics can get in the way of certain things like a baseball stadium and a institution like the Paw Sox, but it is what it is. I think they're very happy up there in Worcester in that new ballpark, which is beautiful. They did a great job. You know, having Larry Lucchino and Janet Marie Smith and the people working on it there, it obviously turned out well. So they'll be happy up there. We'll miss them in Rhode Island, but it is what it is.
Well, we know the Bruins have got a tough matchup next. The Islanders advanced last night. 3-3-2, dead even this season between the two. Maybe some solace in the fact that the Bruins have won the last three, but I don't think this will be an easy series for them.
No, I don't think so either. Because I think the Islanders come in there. I think their ability to respond to, you know, any push that the Penguins made in that series, I think, was impressive to me. And I don't think the Bruins necessarily got that from the Capitals in their first round series. And credit to the Bees for putting them on their heels and for taking all their hits and, you know, sort of putting them on, you know, on notice early in that series and sort of closing things out. So it won't be easy. I think they've added talent to the Islanders, like the Bruins, you know, went out and added a guy like a Kyle Palmieri to add to their, you know, their offensive array. But, you know, you feel good about the Bruins' postseason experience. You feel good, especially that top line and, you know, their captain, Patrice Bergeron. I like the way that their defensive core, you know, worked together in that first series, you know, taking every punch that the Capitals threw. To me, they got to stay out of the penalty box. And if they can do that, if they can be disciplined in this series, then, you know, I like the Bruins in the series. I think they have more experience and talent and the pedigree there, you know, getting to the Stanley Cup final only 2 years ago, too.
What's your handicap down to now, Nick? About 4 or 5?
Oh gosh, I haven't even calculated it lately. I went out and I played it on a course, Triggs Memorial here in Providence on Saturday, and I won't tell you the score, but whatever the handicap was, it was a large number. So yeah, I think we got to start knocking that thing down again, but it is nice to be able to go out and do that.
No question. But Nick, nice to talk with you as always. Appreciate you making a little time for us this afternoon. We'll catch you again before too long.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you, as always.